Blog Talk.
Well, good morning. This is the Taz and Paula show. Actually, it's afternoon. But Taz, are you there?
I am. Good morning, Paula. Good morning to all our listeners.
Well, we're past noon, so it's afternoon now. We're not used to this. Well, you're listening to the Taz and Paula show, an international program with views that are not heard on the news, that's for sure. And I'm Paula Nunes.
And I'm Taz Powers. And our guest today is Jason Lean. And Jason has new books and new film projects underway. His work with Archangel Michael is growing by leaps and bounds with his new book underway entitled The Voice of the Comforter. Archangel Michael speaks of the new earth. And the text is being prepared presently and will be published really soon. Jason says that 2009 has some very unusual significance for the future, and he would love to share this with us, our listeners, before he leaves for Italy at the end of the August. And
the other Wonder New book, Andrew's Wish, is his first children's book that will be released this October. And Jason shared with us the writing of this book has been a magical experience. He looks forward today to actually share all of this with us, as it is a wonderful story about a reindeer named Andrew who is living in Santa's village and the adventure that changes his life on Christmas Eve. Well, I can't wait to hear about all of everything that's happening, Jason, since the last time we've talked to you. It sounds like things are happening in leaps and bounds.
Well, if my life is like everyone else's right now, it's hard to keep track of everyone. I think that's why we have all these new electronic devices and iPhones and everything, because the man and woman on the street, suddenly they have a life like a CEO used to have. every minute is accounted for, or we hope that it has something, you know, at the end of the day, that every minute had a value. But yes, all of those things that you've just mentioned, I'll try to touch on each of those in the time that we have available today for your listeners.
Well, when are you leaving for Italy? In a few days?
Actually, I leave this Sunday, so you're getting me, as I share with you just prior to the show, you're getting me right in the middle of all of my last-minute preparations, so I'm trying to be as focused and calm for your listeners today as I can, but I have about 2 weeks of work to accomplish in 3 days.
Well, our listeners who know nothing of your work, now how would you describe it to them?
As I said, we have many things to discuss today, but this is probably among the most important, the work, as he chooses to say his name, Michael, as we say here in America, in the West, Michael, the very same being. This began in August of 1990, so we're coming up, next year will be the 20-year anniversary of this incredible work. I've been clairaudient since I was 5 years old. And I was actually in Geneva, Switzerland, in August in 1990 with another book. And a woman came to me that evening as a little party for the publication of the French edition of one of my books and said, "Mr. Lean, there is a presence that is with you tonight who wants to speak to the people of Geneva." Well, I had my 16-year-old son with me, and I looked over at him and, you know, with only a look that he would understand, because I felt nothing. I tried to be as polite as possible. So to condense this story that some of your listeners have heard several times, by the end of the evening, she actually asked me 3 times, would I please consider coming to her home the next day and delivering this message? And on the third time, because the number 3 has always been about God for me, I said, okay. And on a very restless night, a very terrible next day, I was so nervous I can't begin to describe to you. I'm a very shy person, and even more so 20 years ago than I am now. So anyway, we arrived to her house. I sat down, and in a very miraculous way, in a very, I could feel a physiological energy moving around me. So it wasn't entirely otherworldly. There was a physical connection to my body. I do not use a trance in the work that I do. It's a very particular, we can think, a rhythmic interface between my awareness and whatever the incoming energy is. And then the clairaudience, which is technically the ability to hear beyond the normal human range, decibel range of hearing, then that kicks into play. And the incoming energy, in a very wonderful way that God makes possible, actually translates itself into my mind into grammatically correct English. And so that evening, for the first time, Mikael came and gave me a message. It lasted for almost an hour and a half, as fast as I could speak.
Wow.
And yes, indeed, it was a specific message for Geneva, because it involves a body of work that has been now ongoing since August of 1990 that involves the lake of Geneva, called Lake Liman. So that work began, and then specifically, I know many people at this time in both in an actual, factual, authentic way, and in other ways are not so authentic, but there are many people making claims at this moment to angelic dialogue, if we can say it in that way. And I cannot be responsible for any of the other claims. I can only tell your listeners about my work. And this, for this 19 years, it is very specifically focused on what Mikael calls the coming of the new heaven and the new earth.
Hello?
Are you there?
Yes. Yes.
So I know that Taz had mentioned something regarding any specific message of 2009, and this is, I thought I'd like to include this in this beginning period here, in case there are any calls that come in regarding a clarification of what I'm about to say. Like many others, Mikael, in a very specific way, addresses the changes that are in play at this moment. It's not no longer a future event. It is a transformation that is already underway. We're in the initial phase of the new heaven and the new earth. And over the last few years, each year, Mikael has given me one word, a quality that in some divine way, I mean, orchestrated from God, not from humanity and not what's in the social, you know, not what is popular in the moment here on earth, but what is necessary and important from the divine perception. And so each of the last few years, he has given me that central focus. 2008 was community. And he said last year it was never more important and continues now, never more important than any other time in our life to find right relation and right community. And so then 2009, he said, the quality this year is devotion. And it has two aspects to devotion. It's the one that we would commonly think, realizing and hopefully realizing each of us how devoted our Creator is in an intimate, personal way to each of us. But then simultaneously, and this is very important right now as we approach all of these great changes, is how devoted we each must be and we must become to our own good.
Whoa.
So 2009 is focused on devotion in those two ways, to really come... really more than a symbol and more than a conjecture and more than a theory, but a feeling like to be embraced by your lover, by your beloved, to really feel that God's devotion. We feel the air entering our lungs each breath. So to feel the devotion of God actually physically demonstrating at you know, in our body at that level, that our life is, you know, through our own efforts, of course, here on earth, but really sustained from that creative source level by the Creator through devotion. And then we combine that with our own devotion.
Well, Jason, myself included, and a lot of people around me, a lot of things are happening to them this year that's really hectic and it's hard to deal with sometimes.
Yes.
So is this a part of the work that's happening?
Yes, that's really wonderful, that question, Paula, because this is, I feel it's part of the second kind of devotion, the devotion to our own goodness. And what that means, and I'm doing it in my own life, at the top of my list is to reprioritize everything. See, because our culture, our society, my peers in the film industry, many, many people around all of us help us make our decisions. I'm saying help us in a kind way. But, yes, so there are so many conflicting, you know, what we want to do. There are five choices for every minute of the day. So now it becomes a priority to really say, of those five choices, which ones are encouraging our goodness? Which ones of them are encouraging our divine relationship with life? Which one of those are encouraging us to expand out and to be the most wonderful, magnificent human being that we can be, and to try to use that as a criteria, to weed our way through all of that chaos, right? Because what we're seeing is all of the choices. It's like a mother who gave birth to 100 children and they all come back for lunch. Okay, so we generated a lot of conflicting desires in these last years. Society said, buy this car. You know, I mean, these are just really very simple examples. But we were impressed from the exterior by other people's opinions and other people's thoughts and other criteria what was good for us. And so now I think we have to weed our way through all of those possibilities and now make our own conscious choices as informed as we can be and select the ones that are really serving our highest good. And then the day isn't so hectic because, trust me, when you use that as a criteria, involve yourself with the people and with the opportunities serving your highest good, Paula, I'm sorry to say that, but most of those things that you're talking about will disappear because they do not conform in any way to your highest good.
Oh, God.
Well, it's like society says that we should do a certain thing a certain way. This is what I'm hearing you say. We should do certain things a certain way, and then we feel guilty because we're not doing it that way to make have devotion to ourselves.
Correct.
Yeah.
And in fact, I know, trust me, in these years with Mikhail, and as I said earlier, I'm basically a very shy person, but he's here not as a provocateur, Mikhail and the God that he represents is not capable of judgment. And this is one when humanity can accept that this is true. It's one of the most wonderful. It's like to be born again. It's like really, it isn't a license to go and do what you want and there's no consequence. But it means that there's nothing impeding the arrival of God's love for you. See, it's unrestricted, and he loves you without any of the other reasons that you would think that he shouldn't or wouldn't love you.
That's like relief in the brain.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's, in a way, letting go of control.
Yes.
Yeah.
And one of the things, and this is the point that I was attempting to make, is that many of the things that Mikael has given me to accomplish in these years under the banner of the new heaven and the new earth is really bringing humanity into this very wonderful real-time relationship with the Creator. And Mikael is so beautiful in how this is being accomplished through the work that he's directed me, because over the 19 years, he has directed me to many different countries in a very wonderful process that he describes. He says, humanity, we are all like fruit on a tree, in the very same way that all the fruit on the tree does not ripen in the same time, that different fruit ripens for different reasons. Some gets more sunlight during the day in a very practical way, how fruit really ripens. But for our symbol, for the humanity, over these 19 years, Mikael has guided me to different countries to present this work, because he is paying attention as the people in those nations, what he calls ripen, as they get ready, as they are capable to really hear the message. It's not my message, it's not my agenda, but it's a message that God is really intending on us to hear at this moment, giving us every opportunity to hear it. And so in Italy, we've addressed a very delicate point. It's the very first commandment of the Ten Commandments, and it's the foundation that the whole Christian world is based on. And any of your readers, any of your listeners, surely do not want to offend anyone, but really from my heart, in a very sincere way, it is this. Mikael says that humanity, we are exhausted from being in front of a symbolic God. And that is like people that need to eat, and that we are starving, and we no longer can be content with only seeing the picture of food. We need food in our mouth, in our stomach, in our body as nourishment. So Mikael says, this is God. God is our food. And it doesn't mean about adapting or adopting any one particular religion. It's about taking your rightful relationship with your Creator. So Mikael says, the Christian world, without realizing it, many, many millions of them, without realizing and without intending to do so, they defy the first commandment, because they are in front daily of symbols. They are in front of symbols from day to night, symbols that represent God. And so Mikael says God wants us to remove the symbols because they are getting in the way. And we need now to be in front of the living God so that we can be cared for. And the symbolic God cannot care for us. It's not capable because it's not alive. It's a symbol. So we need to be in front of the living God so that we can be cared for in the way that we really each need and deserve at this moment.
Well, it's as though the symbol of God was created by man himself, you know, some individuals, instead of.
And this is why I believe it was the first commandment, because God knew our basic tendency to do these things. You know, he knew, not in a judgmental way, but he knew that this was our tendency. So he addressed that as the number one point. This time, please try to avoid this tendency of creating symbols and symbolizing life, and stay connected in real time, in a real way, to the source. So and this is why, Paula, this is why we see so many books and so many people all addressing the issue of source at this time. Contact the source, reconnection to source, realizing that, source is your resource.
That's good.
So we see, I think it's surfacing inside of our awareness right now from 1,000 different directions.
Hmm. Now, I've had the privilege of working with you and Archangel Michael. And when you work in groups, you bring in Archangels Raphael, Gabriel, and Uriel. Now, has Michael introduced you to any other divine beings?
Actually, he has, and it is one of the things that I really wanted to include in our talk today. Among the most important, of course, is in after so many years of my life having these abilities, what I can really, any of your listeners today that are in a process, or maybe even, you know, we can think beginning or in some stage of a personal, you know, relationship similar to what I've done with my life, and they're able to speak with spirit. The one thing that I can caution every single person is that please, if you have these abilities, use them in some way to take information and ask God to deliver to your mind information that is relevant and vital and important to what we are facing on Earth at this moment. Because the universe is filled with information, and we could possibly set, like going to the movie, we could set 24 hours a day if we were capable to stay awake and collect information, and the majority of it would not have any value or any relevance on Earth. It's wonderful information, but it doesn't do anything to improve our experience here. So I've really, with Mikhail's help, I've really tried to focus my efforts on the Earth. And so it involves this group of what Mikhail has called the elders. And I've over the years, as he's even guided me to do this, because I cannot just always expect everyone, you know, to listen to me or to accept any of this because I say, yes, the great Mikhail said is true. So every opportunity that he can find, we will research and he will validate and he will show me text and he will illustrate with information that already exists to support what he has given to me. And so part of this is this group of the 24 elders, and this group is spoken of in the book of Genesis in the Bible. And the way that Mikhail describes it to us, we can think that a schematic, like if any one of your listeners that has ever, with a loom, if they've ever woven or if they've ever done beadwork, that on the framework of the threads, they use as a structure, the framework of the threads, and then they interweave all the other objects or all the additional thread and then create the final. So Mikhail has explained that there is a group of 24 elders. He says they precede an angel in the creative of how God created, not helpers, but how God created the hierarchy that would care for and attend to the creation. Mikhail explained that there was a sequence, a human mind cannot understand this sequence, but there was a sequence of creation, and the elders, only known by that name, precede angel, archangel. So they existed before. So Mikhail explains that this specific group of 24 elders, and they are patterned into 12, we can think, couples. Not feminine and masculine like human man and woman, but feminine and masculine because of the same being that the masculine principle is to transmit, the feminine principle is to receive. So the way that this team works of the elders of each couple, each of the 12 couples, the female of the elder in that couple receives directly from God the blessings for the earth. transmits in some electrical way to her companion, and that masculine member of that couple, the masculine elder of that couple, then transmits into the earth that blessing. So what I wanted just very briefly to share with your listeners today is that each of those 12 couples, they have a priority influence in each of the 12 months of the year. They also, I know this can be a little confusing, it's very complex, but they also, in the 28-day lunar cycle, each of the 24 elders radiates a specific quality. See, we must understand here, the quality is not what they do, it is who they are. So they, by being, they radiate that particular quality into the earth. So a very curious thing in that all of these years, before all the electrical changes underway now, we've always thought of the earth as a pattern of seven, okay? The seven vibrations, the seven colors, 7 days of the week. And so in this system, for those of your listeners that are numerology experts, it's a very curious relationship that each of the couples, an example, of the 24 of the elders, Elder 1 and Elder 24 are combined as the couple, and they are known as the Alpha and the Omega of the system. Now, 1 and 24 is, of course, 25, and 2 and 5 reduce to 7, the 7 vibrations. Each of the elders, each of the couple combinations, it adds to 25 and reduces to 7. So I thought this was it took me many years to understand. I was looking at a schematic of the drawing of each of the 24 and how they are in relation. And then suddenly, almost 2 years after Mikhail had originally spoken about this, I realized that little piece of significance, how they all reduce to the 7, and that represents the earth vibration that they've been tending to all of these years.
Huh.
Okay. The segue of this piece of information is that Mikhail has found it necessary in the last few years and very helpful. We have created a calendar that is available on our website. And in there, on each day of the year, there is a quality that one of the elders is bringing onto the earth in that day. And Paula, you can't imagine that I've used this calendar now almost, we can think religiously, for 4 years, and as many people throughout the world. And it is really incredible when you began to look at the day and you began to see the prevailing quality of the day. It shows up 100 times. It's everywhere, and it's just the most incredible. We can think reference and assurance of what Mikhail has told me. But what I wanted to share with your listeners is the qualities today that we are speaking, that in the 28-day lunar cycle, it is involving the 24 elders, each one have their own day, and it combines then with the four archangels. They are the missing 4 days. So each of the archangels have a very specific relation. Gabriel is connected to the water, and Raphael is connected to the air, and Uriel is connected to the earth, and Mikhail is connected to fire. And so today is the first quarter, and it is the blessing of air by Raphael. And I thought it was very wonderful that we should be having our visit today and our show together, because air is connected to the intuition, and it's connected to the connective tissue, how on the earth, as we speak right now, and as our listeners, wherever they are in the world, we are literally connected. The air that seems to separate us and that distance that seems to separate us is actually the connective tissue that joins us.
Now, I forgot what you said, Archangel Michael.
Yes.
What does he represent?
Fire. He is connected to fire. And this is very important for your listeners, because they might immediately think fire as a with anger and destruction, but we're thinking here more like a laser, like the healing, the fire that is the capable of immediate and very effective transformation. So that more is the aspect of fire that he's representing.
So at one time or another, do we have each one of these archangels working with us?
Actually, the way that they've explained it to me, it's very wonderful. The significance, the difference between angel, Michael explains that, and of course, here's one of the other controversial, very, very extremely controversial points that he's insisted I share in these years, is that the angelic race, you and I, the human race, every one of us ever born, we do not become angels when we die. And Michael explains that our destiny is something even greater than that, because out of all of creation, the humanity, not only here on earth, but the human race, we are the only ones given free will. Michael says he does not have an individual will. The great Michael responds only to divine will. He does not have his own message. He does not have his own agenda. He delivers only the message that God gives him from period to period, from generation to generation, and he has only the agenda that God gives him. So he says that angel, that classification of divine being, is similar to us in that it is limited to being at one place in creation doing one service at a time. Now, it may be able to move at the speed of light, but it can be only at one place at one time with one service. But then Michael said, when in some way I do not understand that the elevation, the transformation takes place, the angel under some circumstances can become the archangel. So Michael said part of becoming the archangel was the gift of multiplicity. And then in all of creation, as God says is necessary, Michael can be in all places at one moment, and they are all Michael. They are not copies. They are not duplicates. They are not a fantasy. It is Michael able to be in all places doing all number of things that God says is necessary at that moment. And so then each of the four can come to us depending upon what our needs are, where we are. Like, we're like a little spinning top, you know. And yes, you're Paula and you're Taz and I'm Jason, and we use the same name every day, but we are changing so much from minute to minute. And depending upon our core mechanics and whichever issue is up for us at the moment, I can language it like that, then we attract one of the four attending archangels, depending on who can help us the best at that moment, is the way Michael explains it.
Well, we're changing so quickly. It's got a big job.
Can you, I hope your listeners forgive me, but sometimes, trust me, this is in my own little human fantasy mind, I see all of this taking place like the four archangels are like a tag team wrestling team. and when one of them, it's like, it's how they can trade off with each other. And without any competition, any sense of ego, it really is about which one, with whatever abilities they each individually manifest, it's about which one can really care for us at that moment.
Wow. So when we have an imprint in our brain that become kind of supersedes all of it, and we really need that assistance, then we have the energies of the archangels that are just at our fingertips to ask for support.
And let's add this right now, because as well as absolutely, as we all three know, without any hesitation, without any judgment, when we are really in need, and I say really, but when we are in need in whatever way, of course there is a constant attention. But one of the very big focuses of my 19 years of work with Mikael is this. And we work in a two-day format in general, and we will start on Saturday morning, and Mikael will say to the group, we are not here these 2 days to become more wonderful, more spiritual, more capable. Why? Because God already accomplished that in the maximum. We are here to remember how wonderful we are. We are here to remember how capable we are, but not to make it more, not by to lift ourselves up by our bootstraps, and not to try to recreate ourselves, because God already accomplished that.
Hmm.
And so, combining that, Mikael says there are four blessings, there are four gifts that are paramount, they are essential. They are not no longer luxuries. We can think that our life depends upon this, and in particular, the quality of our life depends upon this. And it's these four things: honor, respect, dignity, and love. And Mikael says, if each of us give those four gifts to ourselves first. I'm not speaking about arrogance. I'm not speaking about ego. I'm speaking about remembering and taking possession again of the divine being that God created when He created each of us. So when we take possession of those four things, the honor, the dignity, the respect, the love, then Mikael says, then every other human being, they must cooperate and give you those things. They take their cue from us. Every other person, at some silent level that I still don't fully understand, takes their cue from us. And when we give ourselves those four gifts, everyone knows that that is necessary in our universe. That's like a language. It's like a currency. When I go to Italy, I can't use U.S. dollars. I have to use euros. So that people can feel that when you have those four energies living inside of you, they can feel that that is the currency of the domain. That in order to be in relationship with you, privately or professionally, they have to come with those four things. But if they feel that they're absent in us, if we do not give them to ourselves first, then it's like people come and say, oh, it's open season. There's no regulations established here. It's come and do what you want.
Well, it's like the old adage, what you put out is what you receive.
Correct.
So,
but here in a very, we take that general concept and turn it into four specific things.
Well, before I forget it, what is your website so people can look at your calendar? Because this would be something that would be a very good tool.
There's actually two different websites, and I'm sorry to give people a little bit too much work. But the different products are, one is our publishing website, and that is jandj-publishing.com.
Okay.
And then the one where will be the elders, the calendar, and many other of the really wonderful things that I'm doing with Mikhail regarding our flower elixirs, it will be on that site. And that is www.f, as in Frank, LeursAngelIQUE. So Fleurs Angelique, the French for angel flowers, FleursAngelique.com. And there they will see the elixirs, and they will see the international seminars and the and any of the work that we've talked about today.
We'll give that out before we end today again.
Okay, and it's on the publishing site, but I want to let your listeners know that we are offering for your listeners a little special service today, and that is if they an advance order of this wonderful children's book, Andrew's Wish, and that is it'll be at the exact same price that they would buy it for in a store, but if they do the advance order through our company, we will autograph it and get it back to them way before in time for Christmas.
Ooh.
So
well,
they can send the, they can call directly into our office, or they can send their order to our P.O. Box. And that P.O. Box is 751351. And that is in Petaluma, that is P-E-T-A-L-U-M-A, California, 94975-1351.
Now,
that
the phone
is
number?
J&J Publishing.
Now, is the address on J&J Publishing's website?
Yes,
okay.
The address is on the J&J Publishing website.
Okay. And Jason, what about the phone number? Can they call directly?
Yes, they can call into the offices directly, and that is 707-762-1566.
Okay,
let's talk about the book that you just mentioned, Andrew's Wish. You want to share a little bit about the story to the listeners?
Now, I missed your question, Paula.
Oh, I said you were talking about your new children's
yes.
book, Andrew's Wish.
Yes.
Do you want to share a little bit about the story to our listeners?
Yes, I'll do the best that I can, actually. But it's what I can tell your listeners is that it's I'm not ashamed to say this, but the majority of it came from a dream. And this has happened several times in my life, that either a poetry or a concept for a film will come out of a dream, and this is part of what happened with this. Although the text, it's rhythmical, it's in the genre of a Dr. Seuss, in that it's in quatrains, it's in four-lined rhythmical stanzas. But the poem basically tells a story, and so the story it tells is the story of Andrew, and it's, as you said earlier, he's a reindeer, a little we can think humanized, but he's living in Santa's village, and he, as a child, just a moment, I'm trying to bring up on my, as a child. He didn't like his name, Andrew. And so there is a problem that on Christmas Eve, when everyone was calling him to come and to be with to come on the Santa's sleigh, he doesn't wake up because he doesn't respond to his name. And so combined with that, his alarm clock has not worked that night, and so he wakes up late. Santa has left. He's very discouraged, and suddenly he sees a box of gifts that were left behind. And so here begins his adventure. And what we can, just so that your listeners can have a sense of the rhythm, the first few stanzas. Now, I know you've heard the story about Rudolph. of his red nose and all. But there's someone just as important who never heard Santa's call. He was sleeping oh so soundly in his heated water bed, while visions of roasted apples danced merrily round his head. And so we have Andrew wakes up, like I said, and he finds the box and he begins his adventure of all of the elves that have been working in Santa's village. They live at a little distance in our story. I have them living at a little distance away from Santa's village in this wonderful, beautiful, magical castle. So Andrew knows and he that full well that the elves have a magical ability. And if anyone can help him with this problem, the elves can. So he makes a journey, and this is part of the storyline. He makes a journey to the castle of the elves and puts his wish in front of the king to help have the gifts arrive on Christmas morning. And so then all of that takes place. And in the midst of all of that, Andrew is so busy taking care, making sure the children will not be disappointed, making sure that everything is finished as it should be, that he doesn't realize that suddenly in the middle of all of that, he falls in love with his name.
Oh, how sweet.
And so it's a very, I'm a father of my children are grown now. Maybe in the near future we'll be, you know, having the grandchildren, and I can go through it all over again. But the friends of mine that have younger children, that I see from time to time, it's a little sad. The modern world, children are too often only focused on, and it's not wrong. It's part of a child's world, but to always think about themselves and what they want, and constantly from morning to night. So we have here included in a very innocent little way this message of really thinking of others. And when you do that, when you're kind enough and thoughtful enough to do that, very often there's a gift waiting for you that you don't expect.
It has a very meaningful message.
And at the same time, to combine it with Christmas, to invent, we hope, will be a generational hero as loved as Rudolph has been. And to create another friend for young children that they can, go back to a softer, kinder version of Christmas than what Christmas has turned into in recent years.
You know, Jason, I can just see this as being a gift for an adult as well.
Yes, no, this is, we put on the book for children of all ages.
Yeah.
And from 5 to up. We have to technically specify an age for all the distribution. So they want an age on the book, but we said for the young of heart. And then we were very, very lucky in the last few years through our other film work and through other projects that we are doing. We've made a very wonderful friendship with Kelsey Grammer and his wife, Camille. And for all of your listeners that know Kelsey's very rich and unique and distinctive voice, they'll know how lucky that we were that Kelsey went into a little studio in Malibu, and he actually recorded the entire text of Andrew's Wish. And so that we're including with the book this CD of Kelsey's recording.
Oh,
so
wow.
That the children can then read the book page by page, listen to Kelsey's beautiful voice, tell the story, and there can be many added benefits. It can help young children learn to read quicker and better, but it's a very sweet gift that he gave us with this CD, and I hope our listeners and all of the readers will really appreciate his contributions.
That sounds wonderful. And you were talking about film. Are there some film being in process right now or in the future?
Well, Yes, actually, there will be. We are almost simultaneously. The Andrew's Wish is actually at the printer. The book is at the printer after a summer of a labor of love, because when your listeners see the book, it's filled with beautiful, beautiful artwork by a man named Gary Lund. Some of your listeners may remember his work on The Point, a film of about 25 years ago with Harry Nilsson. Gary was art director on that project. But the colors were so rich that it took us quite an effort to work with the printer to have that come. But we're simultaneously now very quickly segueing into an animated version of Andrew's Wish that hopefully will either be on, if we're fortunate enough, the U.S. television for Christmas, either 2010 or 2011. It just depends on how quickly we can complete our production cycle. But if we fail to bring it to the U.S. television, then we'll be going directly to a DVD product with that animated version of Andrew. And we're really excited about that. But at the same time, I've just, for your listeners that may have tuned in before and know my work with Gibran, Cahil Gibran, the conclusion of that work, the Prophet Trilogy, I'm very excited in that I've just finished more than a four-year period of research and completed my screenplay based on that book with Gibran. So now it will be the process of assembling that team, and it's really it's a big epic, so it will really take the right director, but we're very, very excited, and that'll be really coming up here by the end of the year, our next big project to put that into production.
Wow. Talk about busy. I don't know how you do it all, Jason.
Well, a little help from our friends, I think.
Now, Jason, just before you leave here, are you planning to publish a book based on the years with Michael? Michael?
Yes, that I'm very happy that we didn't forget that. But that is also, if your listeners, I mean, Paula will now surely think, when do I sleep? Because, yes, it is now finally time, because in that first evening there in Geneva, Mikhail said that in coming to the closer to the humanity, as he was in this period, he was fulfilling two prophecies that had been made before, and one of them by Jesus, and it is recorded in the book of Revelations. And towards the end of the book of Revelations, Jesus tells everyone that in this, he says, in the future, in this great day of the Lord, what he calls, in this period of transformation that we are currently living now, Jesus said that God would send to the humanity the Comforter. He only named, not by name, anything else, only the Comforter, so that all of the needs of humanity that existed at that time could be addressed before this wonderful celebration could take place. So in 1990, in Geneva, Switzerland, that night, Mikhail said, "I am the Comforter that was promised to humanity." So this first book is The Voice of the Comforter. And it's taking all, with Mikhail's guidance, we're going back through all the information through the 19 years and assembling it in a very coherent way and telling the story of the new earth that is underway right now. And so I'm working on that this winter, and I'm hoping early part of next summer that book will be ready.
Jason, when you have the privilege of doing this and you're listening to Mikhail, what excites you about this new earth?
Well, I've tried. Your listeners will laugh, and I'm always honest. I'm not here to have your listeners think how wonderful I am. So I'm always willing to put my humility in front place. And I will be honest with you and tell you that Mikhail explains that currently the human mind, and as wonderful as God gave me my mind, the human mind is not designed right now to comprehend the new earth completely. And every time that I, it's not quite begging him, but every time I'm so curious, and every time I'm insisting, please, isn't there something, you know, like a little child, isn't there something you can tell me, you know, after all these years, I'm not capable to know anything about this. And so he'll start to talk to me, and he'll tell me things like, on the new earth, there will be no competition, there will be only cooperation. On the new earth, there will be no hostility. It will be impossible to generate the expression of anger and resentment, any form of hostility or aggression. On the new earth, there will be only equality. All superiority and all inferiority will be gone, and only true equality will prevail. So, but when he starts talking to me in a deeper way about this, every single time for more than 10 years, I go to sleep.
But as someone tells you this kind of thing, I begin to think, okay, is this, are we being submerged in this on a gradual basis, or is it going to be something just kind of pops in like pow?
Yes, in fact, this is very, very important, because a lot of the work that I'm doing in Europe right now is addressing this phenomena that people are becoming a little hysterical about, with the help of the media, of course, and that is 2012. Now, for many years, Mikhail has confirmed that, yes, December 21st, 2012, there is a very significant phenomena that takes place. But on that night, he said our God would not be so cruel and so demanding that he force us to accept all of the necessary changes to fully bring the new earth into focus at the physical level. He would not force us to accept all of those changes in that one night. So we are in a process, and it began in a serious way with the transit of Venus in June of 2004. Now, Venus comes back again in June of 2012, because they're 8 years apart, that transit. And so Mikhail says that December of 2012, it is a portal, and that there is approximately another 8 years on the other side, the same way that it went from 2004 to 2012, 8 years. Then we have approximately another 8 years on the other side of that. So we come to 2020 before what he has shown me, that the frequency and everything, all of the new earth reality has settled in and really come into focus. But we're in the process, and he calls it walking the bridge. So it's no longer business as usual. It's no longer what we knew 10 years ago. But we're not yet alive to where we're going. So all we can do is enjoy the journey.
And we're probably in the process of releasing the old right now.
No, that is, as we said earlier, when you mentioned all the chaos and how busy we were,
mm-hmm.
and I recommended to use the criteria to start doing the things only in your best interest.
Mm-hmm.
So we are in the middle of... I tell people this way, it's as important to know what you want, it is equally important to know what you do not want. And that's all the way from the private level and your personal relationships, all the way to the work that you're doing and everything else about your life.
Very good advice.
Yes. We're really...
Out of time.
Yeah,
our hour always goes so fast with you, Jason.
I think we covered some very important things today.
And if you didn't get his website, you can go on our website, tazandpaulashow.com, and get his website. And in a few days, the archived session that
yes, I'll send you right now an email with both of my sites so that you have make sure
okay.
It's everything's correct.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you both so much.
Have a great trip.
Thank you. and bless you for everything you're doing.
Oh, thank you, and bless you.